What's up? Welcome back to the Section 10 Podcast, episode 335, presented by Barstool Sports. It is the home of your completely exonerated 2018 World Series champion, Boston Red Sox. My name is Jared Carrabas, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And this right here, this is Coley Mick, and he's really pissed off, and you can't teach that. Bada boom, realest guys in the room. Steve, how you doing?
What up, what up? Section 10 is in the building.
You should have just said bad.
Yeah.
How you doing? Not well. No, I remember one time bad. I answered the question. You weren't pumped about it, so I'm like, all right, I'll just...
No, do it.
Ask it again.
All right. Where's my part? Steve, how you doing?
Bad.
Bad. Pain.
Suffering.
Let me just lay all this out here, because a lot of people, Red Sox fans, there's probably Dodgers fans that are listening to this so that they can drink the tears. I'm sure there's Yankee fans that are,
it's
like
mostly Yankee fans,
snuff porn masturbating to this episode. You're not gonna get tears. You're not gonna get like, oh my god, I can't believe Mookie's gone. Like, no, I don't think you're gonna get that. We're just gonna take a real look at this. Here's what happened. The Red Sox, and I'll even go as far back as like Ben Cherington, with like Pablo Sandoval's contract. And he was the Dustin Pedroia extension, right? Like, that was a part of it. Dave Dombrowski with the Chris Sale extension, the Nathan Eovaldi free agent contract. The Red Sox backed themselves into a corner financially. And I know that, I'm sure Coley has a take on this in terms of like, well, just, you know, fucking keep throwing money at the problem, keep throwing, whatever. So the Red Sox found themselves in a position where, yes, they quote unquote lowballed Mookie Betts. And they're, you know, I talked about this on Sports Hub today. I said, you know, Johnny from Burger King, shout out Keith Folk, is going to say they offered him $300 million. Like, you're telling me $300 million isn't enough to play a game? And it's like, well, no, it's economics 101. Mookie Betts wanted what he was worth, and what he was worth, based on his statistics, based on the economics of Major League Baseball, was more than $300 million. So I don't blame Mookie Betts for saying, yeah, I want more money. Like, pay me what I'm actually worth. Of course you're going to do that. Everyone would do that in their own profession. So the Red Sox were unable to pay Mookie Betts what he was worth, which forced them to trade Mookie Betts, David Price, to the Dodgers and get under the luxury tax. And by the way, I don't know if you saw this. It was early last week I tweeted this out. Alex Speer of the Boston Globe. Because I was like, I think they have to play one game. And then there was like, they have to play the whole season for the luxury tax to reset. Alex Speer wrote last week that the Red Sox have to play past the August 31st trade deadline for the luxury tax to reset. So that's a date that you're going to want to write down as a Red Sox fan, because you do, regardless of Mookie Betts no longer being out there to sign, you're still going to want the Red Sox to be better at baseball than they will be in 2020. So the free agent process will help that. August 31st, you need to play past that date in order to get under the luxury tax threshold. So Mookie Betts gets traded to the Dodgers. He's over there. And, you know, the rumblings were what they were. I mean, all along while Mookie was in Boston, it was the same tone. It was, I want to be a free agent. You know, like, I want to at least see this process through. I want to get out there, see what I'm worth. I want suitors. I want the best offer. Things like, I mean, he wasn't saying that directly. That was the vibe. That was the gist of what he was saying throughout the entire process. Gets traded to the Dodgers. And even if Mookie Betts saw this thing through to go to free agency, we knew the Dodgers were going to be a player in this. We knew that the Dodgers were going to be one of the top suitors. And I don't think anyone here was thinking that the Dodgers, you know, wouldn't eventually be the team that signed him anyway, even if he did go to free agency. But that's not the case. Mookie Betts signs a monster $365 million contract extension over 12 years to stay in LA, which, at first, yeah, you're surprised to see that. The timing of it is like, wait, what the fuck? You know, as Red Sox fans, we know that Mookie Betts, like, that was his thing. He wants to go to free agency.
What was your first reaction when you saw the news?
I was in the fucking Starbucks drive-thru. And so I saw Lou Maloney's tweet. Shout out Lou Maloney. He broke this. He's not getting the credit that he deserves.
He deserves more credit. Megaphone Ball's getting a lot of it. But
he's getting a lot of it. Megaphone Ball's had the details and the finalization of it.
I've seen Lou get a lot of credit, and it's deserved, but I've seen him getting mostly only credit.
Good for you, Lou.
Which is wild. Like, in the history, like, when you look back on Red Sox history, it's like, Yeah, like when I'm 85 someday and Mookie Betts is a Hall of Famer with the Dodgers, I'll be like, yeah, the news that Mookie Betts was signing the extension to stay with the Dodgers, in the tweet that broke the news, it was actually an apology to me.
Dude, I thought I was reading like his tweets wrong. I'm like, this can't be the actual tweet where he breaks the news. It leads with Jared?
He's like, I'm sorry, but here's the news. So
Lou Maloney, I thought that was like the second tweet. I didn't think that was the news tweet.
That was the news. So the news that Mookie Betts was staying in LA for big money with big years was an apology because I was
sorry, Jared. I was like, yeah, what?
I am fucking upset. So I was in the Starbucks drive-thru. Oh,
Did Lou get that from Nomar?
Maybe. I mean, like, that's actually a Dodger Connect that I didn't.
That would make sense.
That would make
that's
sense.
That's the only thing
I could didn't. Who initially reported the whole, like, what the quote-unquote offer was from the Red Sox? Was that Lou or am I losing it?
Lou, yeah.
Yeah, Lou's got somebody.
Lou's got somebody in the Mookie circle, it sounds like. So I quote-tweeted it with the Anchorman, I don't believe you, GIF. And, I mean, it's not to say that I don't believe Lou. It's just I refuse to believe this report. It's not that I don't trust Lou. I do. And then immediately after Lou's tweet goes out, I get two text messages. One from a guy who is, he would know things on the Mookie side, and just sends me the sad face emoji. And I was like, is this legit? And he said 100%. I was like, fuck. Then I get another text message from someone who would very much know what's going on and said, sad day for you. Like, fuck. So I'm sitting in the drive-thru slamming my fucking steering wheel, just yelling fuck. And I knew it was over then. This is like 9:30 in the morning. This obviously progressed as the day went on. But at that point, seeing the Lou tweet and then talking to these other two individuals, I knew it was done. Like there was nothing we could do to prevent it from happening. And then it obviously, I mean, originally the whole thing was this could happen in the coming days. And it happened in the coming hours to the point
that happened quickly.
Yeah. Megaphone Balls reports it. And then the Dodgers tweeted it's official. So, I mean, that means that, like, a physical's already done. I mean, like, he's already got piss in the cup if the Dodgers are tweeting out that the extension is official. So this is something that had been in the works for a little bit. And
I'm stunned
that
they kept this like under wrap. I'm stunned that this wasn't out there, right? If they had this all taken care of.
I think it helps to, you know, the whole situation of people are quarantining still and social distancing. Like, maybe the people that you don't exactly trust aren't around to be leaking this information. Like, Mookie Betts going in to take a physical, like, how many people are going to be around for something like that to see it and report back? But yeah, they kept it tight lips. And I guess the ways that you can look at this, am I surprised? No, I'm not surprised. I do kind of go, huh, at the whole foregoing free agency thing, because that was his whole thing, is that I want to go to free agency. But when you put yourself in Mookie Betts' shoes, right, he's with the Dodgers. He's now become acclimated to his teammates, to the clubhouse, to the coaching staff, to the front office. He knows those guys now. He's been there a few months, which, you know, I feel like there are situations in life where you might need more time than that to make a huge life decision. Like, yeah, I'm going to commit to this for the next 12 years of my life. But when you look at it this way, the Dodgers haven't lost a division title since 2012. We did the starting nine season preview today, and I had Mookie Betts as the National League MVP. So that would be back-to-back National League MVPs because Bellinger won last year. So your teammate is the reigning MVP. You're probably going to win the MVP this year. We talked about the NL Cy Young Award. Walker Buehler's name is all over that. The Rookie of the Year would be Gavin Lux or Dustin May, both Dodgers. And then Dave Roberts has been a Manager of the Year in the National League with the Dodgers too. So you have the proven track record of success. You can win right now. They have, it's a big market, so you have money coming in to be able to sign guys like Mookie.
Get to live in LA.
Prospects out the ass and major league ready talent right now. Why wouldn't it? And the number one thing, like, these are all nice things, but the number one thing, they met his asking price. They met his asking price. That's what he wanted. Like, you can't, like, the whole thing about, oh, well, the Red Sox offered him $300 million. That's not enough. No, he signed for almost $100 million more than that. So that's what he's worth. The Dodgers said, hey, we identified the guy that we want. We traded for him. And then we had a conversation about, hey, what are you looking for money-wise? He threw out a number, and then the Dodgers were like, all right, here's a blank check. You fill in the number. And he did. And now he's going to be a Dodger for the rest of his fucking life.
Also, I don't love the comparison people are making, being like, wow, look at the Dodgers. They did this without him even playing a game for him. It's like, no, take a step back right now. Mookie Betts signing this deal is what the Dodgers wanted to do the entire time. Them trading for him, they wanted to have him there long term. You're not going to trade for a superstar like that to let him hit free agency. The money that he's actually going to end up signing for is what he never even came close to getting in Boston. So anyone that people are trying to do the math, being like, oh, well, it's, you know, $30 million for 10 years is what they offered him. He turned that down immediately. It's like, no, I think once Mookie Betts decided or knew he wasn't going to get the money in Boston that he thought he deserved. Forget like what's enough in your mind. That's not enough for a superstar. Once he realized he wasn't getting that money, I think in his mind, he's like, okay, I'm not going to be in Boston. I want an MVP here. I want a World Series here. That's great. I'm ready for the next chapter. There's literally no downside to the deal he just signed.
LA traffic is a mother.
Well, wait, fine. Take a helicopter. Don't do that. There's no downside to what Mookie Betts just signed in Los Angeles. So why would he not want to do that? I knew Coley would like that.
I did not like that.
I was going to say the same thing, and I didn't. I was like, well, I mean, he can easily avoid the traffic with a helicopter. Yeah. Me personally, wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I said don't do it. Don't do it. There's no downside to what he just signed. It's good for him. I mean, everyone wants to be all upset about the situation. It's like, good for Mookie. He gets his money. He earned all that. If you want to be – I mean, Coley, the floor is yours, though, because I can tell
you. Always get takes. Coley.
No, I know it's crazy. The Red Sox offered him $300, and then he countered with $420, and then he signed pretty much directly in the middle with the Dodgers, because that's how negotiating works. The Red Wild. Sox heard that, and they were just like, well, he clearly doesn't want to be here, and people are still running with that storyline. These are the dumbest fucking people I've ever talked to in my life. I hate these people. The people who are like, Mookie didn't want to be here. The fuck are you talking about? He didn't want to play with J.D. Martinez. I'm going to just read the blog I wrote on February 11th because I've said everything I needed to say. Breaking up an extremely young core of Mookie, Devers, Xander, Jackie, and Benintendi doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if you realize this, but that's five players. You can calculate it for yourself if you don't trust my math. Traditional baseball lineups only require you to play nine players at a time, meaning more than half of your young lineup is set for a decade if you want it to be, meaning a depleted farm system, agreeably one in need of tending, doesn't need to be completely replenished this very second. So I'm just going to skip to the end. Mookie Betts played five full seasons for the Boston Red Sox. Five. He was not an all-star his first year as a starter. What an asshole. He's been an all-star the other 4 years. He hasn't finished lower than eighth in MVP voting over those four seasons. Over those four seasons, he's racked up four gold gloves. One platinum glove. Jared, what's the platinum glove?
That is the best defensive player in baseball.
Regardless of position?
Regardless of position, yes. That's like the guy defensively.
Huh. Three silver sluggers, one batting title. Mookie Betts has five career three home run games. The major league record is six, so he's going to set that. He's the only player since World War II. Oh, excuse me. Only one player since World War II has posted an OPS higher than Betts in 2018. That was Manny in 2002. Even before that, it was Babe Ruth, Jimmy Fox, and Ted Williams. So there are four people who have ever posted a higher OPS than Betts in 2018. Seems okay to me. He's the only player in American League history to win a World Series, MVP, batting title, gold glove, and silver slugger all in the same season. That's who the Red Sox were like, you know what? Can't pay that guy.
Guys, thanks.
And that's really what it comes down to. They didn't want to pay it. I don't think, Jared, it's fair to say I think you can just throw money at problems over and over again. This wasn't a permanent problem.
No.
And I was very vocal in saying attach Benintendi to David Price if that's what it takes to get him out of here to get under the luxury tax. I understand Benintendi is great. We all love Benintendi. Made probably the most iconic catch in the history of Boston Red Sox baseball. He's not as good as Mookie Betts, probably never will be. That's not a slight to him. That's just how good Mookie Betts is. Like, do you see Benintendi winning an MVP? I personally don't.
Nope.
Right. And that's not a negative. They only give out one a year. Like, it's not an easy thing to win. So that's, again, no slight to Benintendi. I'm glad he's still here, all that shit. I'd rather have Mookie Betts. I think everyone in the world agrees with that. That's not a crazy take. And if everyone's still okay with giving Mookie Betts $30 million a year, then what the fuck? He clearly wanted 12 years. That he wanted 12 or 13 when the Red Sox were offering 10. Mm-hmm. So he didn't even want 12 or 13 at $40 million, which I know people were talking about at the time. He just wanted those extra years, not even more money. He just wanted extra years with the same money. Mm-hmm. It's insane to me. Also, since the Dodgers now have re-signed him, we got a dog shit fucking trade package for him. We didn't even get what he was worth now that he's going to finish. He's going to die in L.A. Yeah. He's not even going to live in another city. He's going to die there. So we got fucking Jeter Downs, some four-string catcher, and Assault Benintendi. Like, sick. What a great fucking trade package. What the fuck happened here?
For a guy that's going to die in L.A., it's a good point. I think one thing that hurts the most as a Sox fan is I wasn't ready for the divorce to be made official yet. Like, I thought we still had a few months to, like, maybe try to figure some things out, pull some strings. Like, at least give us that time to think that we had a chance to bring him back. So that's why this
sucks. Like, from a podcast perspective, that was one of the things that I was upset about. Like, even if Mookie didn't come back to Boston, I at least wanted the offseason to be like, is he coming back? Or like, oh, he likes
wanted the hope is gone.
Give me the hope. Give me the chase. Give me the courting.
I would way rather that.
Yeah. Give me at least the hope.
You know what would be crazy? If you just didn't trade him, because then you would have been able to sign him. That's what if the Red Sox offered him the same amount the Dodgers just did, he would have signed. Fact. The people who say, like, oh, he didn't want to be here, they're wrong. That's just wrong. He would have played for an upstart team in Alaska for that amount of money. Like,
Cole, you're not going to get any complaints from us on the money thing. I think we all agree on the money factor of he was not offered anywhere near what he was worth by the Red Sox. End of story. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's why he didn't take it. But to your point, I still can't believe there are people that are like, he clearly didn't want to be here, dude. He didn't accept the $300 million. That's you idiot. That's not how this works.
Some people being like, do you really want to pay his like last 2 years of that deal? First of all,
Who cares?
I don't care. It doesn't come out of my pocket. If it did, I would have been able to offer him like $7 an hour. But yeah, who gives a fuck? You don't want the 10 years for the last two? What the fuck is wrong with you? And is $30 million in 12 years even going to be a drop in the bucket for the MLB? No.
Holy, I don't want the 10 best years of his life baseball-wise because that last two was going to be a pain in my ass.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah. But I love the people today who are like, well, now that the luxury tax re-signed, we can sign, George Springer, who's not even close to as good. George Springer's never hit over 292. I know we don't do that shit. He's never had an OPS above 974. His highest MVP finish was seventh. That would be Mookie's fourth best.
Yeah.
This guy fucking stinks compared to
what we with the like can.
30, with the how old is George Springer?
30? He's already 30, too. Yeah. And people
already
like,
30, and he's got an injury history. I'm not saying, like, if the Red Sox end up signing George Springer, I'm not like, fuck, like, whatever.
I'm going to be furious because that just shows how bad management is. And it's not all on Haim. I get he inherited this shitty fucking situation. But it is on Haim if all of a sudden he's just going to turn around. That's throwing money at a problem. We've opened up some money. Let's just sign a guy in a decent free agent year who kind of plays the same position. That's fucking stupid. It also means Verdugo fucking stinks if you're already signing a right field replacement. Like, both of those things are true. So it would be doubly bad to go and sign a right fielder the same offseason you could have just given this far superior player almost the same money to be much better at sports.
Yeah.
How wild is it that the Red Sox haven't played a single real game since Haim Bloom came on? I feel like he's been here for like 20 years already. Yeah. Like, oh, Haim. And again, we understand he didn't inherit this, but yikes, buddy.
Yeah. I feel like the before and after, like Haim Bloom, because he's 36 and he's a young guy. Like
it's got to be like Obama. It's got to be, he's got the gray
presidential
hair.
He's going to age like
him. He's done. It's going to look like he's aged at least 40 years in whatever his tenure is here. It's going to be very trying. But shout out to the Section 10 Reddit page. There's a couple of people that they're listening to every word that we're saying, and they're picking up on little things. That's you know what I'm going to start doing, by the way? Breaking news Twitter is the worst Twitter in the world. So because Section 10 listeners, those are the people that like I actually care about, like giving this information to. It's like, I, as a fan, like you want to be in the know, you want to know the behind the scenes stuff. So from now on, if I have information, I will never say breaking news. I'll never say sources. I'll let you know that I saw something in a dream. That's how you know, like, that's me telling you. I'm not breaking news. Be like, I did it with the schedule. I said I had a dream last night that the Red Sox opened the season against the Orioles. And, blah, and that way it's like, well, if it's not wrong, it's just that's just a dream that I had. But I'm just it's a way for, because wouldn't you, like, if you were, if we were friends in real life, wouldn't you want me to tell you the things that I'm hearing? It's different to have to present it as fact on the internet, because then you're held accountable for the information and there's a responsibility with that. But I would want to know all the in-between, like, scuttlebutt stuff. So I'll just tell you that I had a dream about it. And that's how you guys know. That's our little – that's the – I'm throwing down the two, and you know a curveball's coming. So we're on the same page here.
Question?
Steve, yeah.
So I just want to know, as a follower of yours, love what you do.
Thank you.
How am I supposed to know, Jared, if you're just tweeting about – if you're actually just tweeting about a dream? Because I feel like you still want to tweet about your dreams, right?
Yeah. No, I think – I usually don't have dreams about baseball. So if I have a dream,
no, like, that's true.
Yeah, that's false.
Yeah, that's false. I daydream about baseball. I don't know if I nightdream about baseball.
I just want to make sure we have a system in place that in case you want to talk about your dreams and it's not like, it's a good, you know,
question. No, I appreciate where you come from and it's a good question.
Well, but I think it also be obvious within the context of the tweet if your dream's about like clowns.
We or like licorice, like, or something. Yeah,
yeah, true. We'll know that's not like baseball breaking news related.
Right.
Yeah.
If I ever have any breaking news, if there's any rumors that I'm hearing, then I'll just tell you I had a dream about it. And, you know, maybe I had a dream. I'll tell you the dream. I'll tell you the dream on Twitter. Just for people to be able to know. But people
with Reddit.
Because the Section 10 Reddit, they were picking up on some Verdugo conversation that we had last podcast, the podcast before.
Oh, yeah. They definitely picked up on it.
Yeah, they were trying to read between the lines there. And maybe I'll just explain it in one of the dreams that I've had about it.
Yeah. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I kind of regret tweeting the whole, like, Mookie looks good in a Dodgers uni thing.
Yeah, you're an asshole for saying that.
I tweet my thoughts, Jared. I think he looks good in that uni.
Yeah, no, he does. You know what I don't like about the Dodgers uniforms, though? Like, if you go to buy one of the replica Red Sox jerseys and they have, like, the shitty numbers on the back that look fake, those are the real ones that the Dodgers use.
Yeah.
Like the cheap,
true.
Like the, like if you buy like a fucking Red Sox jersey on eBay and it's a fake one and they use like it's a red number, but it looks like shit. It's not the red numbers that the players use on the real jerseys. Those fake shitty ones are the ones that the Dodgers use on their real jersey.
It's annoying too, because they have a clean uni. Like, that's probably that is a crispy white, and the Dodgers like font is phenomenal. And then the number is like, oh, what happened with the number, guys? Did you just not finish the job? Like,
the budget for like the front, and then by the time they got to the back, they were like, ah, give me one of the shit.
The money they had to put into the word Dodgers was a lot.
And then they have like the arm patches. There's always something like Vin Scully's final season and celebrating.
Got a sandwich or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been 30 years since the Dodgers won a World Series. Let's celebrate the anniversary. Stuff like that.
I'm not going to mock another team's budget right now.
That's fair.
Wait, how long has it been since the Dodgers won the World Series?
It's been 1988.
Yeah. It was 88.
88. My goodness. Mm-hmm. 32 years.
Yeah. I've been alive for 31 years. I've never seen a Dodgers World Series, but hey, I'm not here to be petty. I'm not here to come at the Dodgers for what they did. I commend what the Dodgers did. The Dodgers did what I wish the Red Sox did, and that's see the value in a true franchise player superstar and pay them every cent that they're actually worth. I'm not coming at the Dodgers. I do think that their fans are fucking dickheads, but that's neither here nor there. You have to separate the two entities. And I won't be attacking the Dodgers for not winning a World Series for 32 years. That's not even that. I mean, the Red Sox, they won for 86. I mean, they've won four since then. I mean, I've seen those, but I didn't really live through the 86 years very much. But again, we're not taking cheap shots at the Dodgers.
Why would JD stay?
No reason.
I mean, if he doesn't feel like he can make more money elsewhere, which I don't entirely think would be the case. I mean, if you're the Red Sox, if JD opts out, do you let him walk? Do you make an effort to keep him if he opts out? Like, how do you play that? I feel like there will be some blowback I don't want to say blowback. I think that there will be some criticism from media being like, oh, so JD's what, 31, 32, and you're going to pony up extra money for him, but you wouldn't pay Mookie, who's not even 30 years old yet and a superstar. Not that JD isn't a superstar, but I think it would come off as like, you don't have a philosophy. You don't.
I think that's what signing Springer does.
Yes, more so. If it were me, I would look at, and I know that Haim wasn't here yet, but obviously he's going to look at the history of it. You lose David Ortiz after 2016. 2017 was what it was. And then you add JD Martinez to that lineup, completely changed everything. Obviously, yeah. Bogarts came into his own. Devers came into his own. But you could also make the case Mookie won MVP. They came into their own because they also had JD Martinez as a hitting guru resource at their disposal. I'm not letting JD go anywhere if I'm the Red Sox. I don't care about his fucking age right now because, I mean, until he slows down, which he hasn't, why the fuck do you care?
The age isn't going to matter as much for a guy that's not going to play in the field.
Right. But the NL is definitely going to have a DH moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what does that need to be in the new CBA, though, right? Like, it's not guaranteed that that's going to happen next year, right?
They added it this year without a CBA, so I don't know why that would stop them.
No, I know. This year is kind of an outlier, but like...
I think we've seen the last of pitchers hitting.
I hope we do, too. But if anything, that should be even more reason why JD won't be back next year.
Yeah,
which is a ton of fun.
But I'm kind of looking at it as I think JD likes it in Boston. I think that he has finally gotten that recognition that he deserves, that he wasn't getting in Detroit because, you know, he's sharing a lineup with, at the time, Victor Martinez, Miguel Cabrera, and, you know, he's putting up monster numbers, but everyone's talking about those guys. He comes here and it's like, yeah, people are still talking about Mookie, Devers, and Bogarts, but JD is very much known as the guy, like at least from an offensive standpoint, he's the guy. I'm sure that plays a factor, but also at the end of the day, he's going to want to get paid. And if he thinks he can get more money, if he opts out, more power to him. I just hope that the Red Sox pay him to stay, because you're taking a colossal step backwards. It's kind of like, it's not a direct comparison or a fair 100% accurate comparison, but like losing Alex Cora, like that was a guy that keeps guys like Devers, Erod, Bogarts, like those guys going. And you have to wonder what the impact would be beyond losing a cornerstone bat. What's the impact on the other guys if JD's not here?
Tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
Can't lose him. So, no. I mean, I don't think it's like you're going to have to overpay. I don't think if JD opts out and the Red Sox have to pay him a little bit more than what he was due to get paid, I don't think that number is going to be gross. Or maybe JD doesn't opt out because he's like, well, I don't know that I could get a ton more if I opt out. We'll see how he plays it, but I will be very upset if JD Martinez is done with the Red Sox.
I feel like he got underpaid when we signed him the first time.
No, 100%. Yeah.
He was asking for way more, and
he was asking for $100 million more.
He was around for the entire offseason.
Right. Yeah, it was stupid, and we were just like, why won't they just pay him more than what they were offering? But even without Haim, without Dombrowski, like the Red Sox do not have a great history with paying the DH what he's worth. Like every offseason, it was a fucking headache dealing with Ortiz's contracts. I don't want to go through that again with a guy who's as deserving as Ortiz was. Like it wasn't until Ortiz's last deal where they finally were like, you know what? You've earned two. Well, what are you talking about? I've earned two. Like, that's why he's fucking smashing phones and yelling at reporters over RBI and shit, because it actually matters for his contract, because the Red Sox were fucking him over. Mm. Like, that's like a lot of people. I know fights used to be a big, like, well, it's hard for me to chirp these guys because they've proven to spend. That's not the case right now. And it was never the case with Ortiz for reasons I'll never understand.
Never.
So I don't really have a ton of. I have faith that Haim can build a small market team. He's proven that. I don't think he should be forced to do that here, but it kind of looks like that's what they want him to do.
Also, let's be realistic. If they want to commit to Rafael Devers, which they have to, then I could easily see them pitching. We got Bogarts. We got Devers. We got Benintendi, whatever Chavis is this year. There's a lot on the line there. They could try pitching that this lineup will still work without JD if you're adding other pieces in the offseason. with whatever financial flexibility you have. I'm not saying that that's a good idea, but no, but just knowing this team, JD's going to be 33 in August. Again, I don't care as much about the age when this guy's still mashing and all he does is sit on the bench and then hit home runs, right, like when he doesn't have the field. But they could easily pitch this as like a, look at who we got. These guys are younger. We can commit to these guys. Devers isn't even up until, 2024 or whatever it is. Like, he still has, like, three more seasons after this. So I wouldn't be stunned if he's gone. That's not the end of the world. But, I mean, if you don't have – if 3 years after winning a World Series with that lineup and you don't have Mookie and JD, it's like, what the hell happened? That's a failure to me. You don't have either.
It's not like they like retired. It's not like one of them died. Like you just literally got rid of them for no reason.
No reason. Yeah.
And we were pumped when, because I know a lot of people would be like, well, weren't you guys happy when they re-signed Chris Sale? Of course we were, because we were working under the assumption that the Red Sox weren't a bunch of faceless poors. They weren't an impoverished franchise. Like now they are. So now that deal looks really fucking stupid. A deal they didn't have to sign when they signed it. A deal that, like, this is, I don't fault Dombrowski for that because he was doing his job. But correct me if I'm wrong, a GM can't just, like, go sign someone without approval from.
No, he got approval. He got approval on that and Eovaldi
from ownership. Right.
So they knew they were going to get rid of Dombrowski for a bunch of reasons. Why would they let him sign fucking anyone? Like, what are you doing? That's where it's troublesome to me. That's where it's not like you can blame Dombrowski, you can blame Haim, you can blame Ben Cherington. You can't do any of that. It's just the guys at the fucking top.
Mm-hmm.
Who
I'm not convinced that they knew, though, that they were going to get rid of Dombrowski. I feel like that was a reason.
It, like, during the parade, he was like, we don't know. We'll see. Like, what do you mean?
How weird is that? Yeah, like, what? Popping bottles, and it's like, this guy, I don't know. This might not be the right fit. Like, what? Right.
Like, that's crazy to me. Crazy.
No, the rationale changes every other, month with what the approach of the team is, and it's hard to follow as a fan. It really is. But
before we continue at all, Coley, I need you to address the rumors that you're still gonna support the Red Sox.
Heesh.
Yeah. Yeah, there's I don't know how other fan bases do it. Because I had a lot of people today being like, but you're still going to be a fan of the team. It's like, yeah, I've been up with the team for way worse than, like, this sucks. This is really bad. This is almost the worst it's ever been in terms of trading the best. Like, we've never seen a Red Sox player better than Mookie Betts.
No, ever.
So, like, that's, like, as bad as it can get. But, like, I don't have to agree with everything the team does. Like, the team's going to be good again, I assume. They won a century before without doing it, so maybe I'm wrong. But, yeah, I don't know what fans are out there. Maybe, like, Minnesota Timberwolves fans. Like, I don't know. Like, who out there is just, like, everything we do I agree with 100%. Mm-hmm. I'll never disagree with. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's the whole point to being a fan. It's like, Felger and Maz, WEEI. All day they field calls from people just bitching and moaning about, like, the Patriots, like, good teams, like teams that know what the fuck they're doing. So, yeah, you get to complain about shit. I had someone tweet me and being like, I bet you felt the same way when Adrian Gonzalez and Kyle Crawford got traded. First of all, not true. You won't find someone who supported Adrian Gonzalez less than me. You just won't find that person.
Adrian Gonzalez was good in Boston.
He wasn't.
Yeah, yes, he was. What are you talking about? Well, he had an MVP caliber season.
But he never came through when they needed him. He was a big time. Oh, we're up five. Let me drill a 2-run home run. He was
would have
never
preferred some more clutch action from Agon, but he had a ridiculously impressive season.
In his
put up a great average
full season in his only full season with the Red Sox.
What
led the league in hits.
What did they do?
213 hits.
What did
he
they
hit
do?
338.
What did
with
they
a
do?
957 OPS.
What did they do?
But come on. I mean, that's like the Mike Trout. That's like saying, what are the Angels
doing? No, it's not. Mike Trout's never had a 12-game lead in the fucking
45
division.
45 doubles and 117 runs batted in. All-star, gold glove, silver slugger, seventh in the MVP voting.
Jared,
that was his only full season.
Jared, you're a big what did this guy do from this date to this date guy, right?
Yeah, but that's the whole
year. What was his September, Jared?
I mean, everyone sucked in September.
What was this? No, that's not true.
Statistically, Coley.
What was the September?
His wins above replacement was 6.9.
What was his September?
Which was which, by the way, was tied for his highest single season career WAR in his entire career.
I understand.
His best year of his career came in that one full year in Boston.
I understand. And it would have been higher if he didn't shit the bed in September.
I mean, everyone has a bad month. You can't blame Adrian Gonzalez for September. Everyone,
when you're the middle of the line, imagine if JD did that. We wouldn't be happy with JD. When you're that guy, that was what he was brought here to do. He didn't do what he was brought here to do. In fact, when he didn't do what he was brought here to do, he blamed God.
I did. Yeah. I mean, that's why people don't like him. People
don't like him. I didn't like him
because schedule.
He was a stat padder. He's a stat padder. He padded his stats.
You can't be a stat padder when you have 213 hits.
Of course you can. People
know you can't.
Yes, you're doing that all season.
Like, well, yeah, he had 213 hits, but they were only in like garbage time. What?
That team was blowing teams out. What are you talking about?
He hit 318 in September. I mean, it's not like he stunk.
Below average for him. If they had kept,
he hit 318 with a 977 OPS in the month of September. The Red Sox went 7-19, and he had a 977 OPS.
If they had kept Euculus,
holy, blame God. This is God. You're not mad at Adrian Gonzalez. You're mad at God in the schedule. This has nothing to do with Adrian Gonzalez.
If they had kept Euculus at first and then kept Adrian Beltre, that team makes the playoffs, maybe even wins the World Series. That's a fact.
I mean, we just debunked your theory that Adrian Gonzalez didn't perform in September.
He hit below his average. We just talked about that.
He hit 318. He hit 318.
So he hit a month. What did he hit for the season?
338.
So he probably would have hit, what, 350 if he didn't have that September?
His batting average at the start of August 31st, he was hitting 341.
I'm surprised.
With a 953 OPS. His OPS went up.
His OPS did go up.
957 he finished the season with. So his batting average went down 4 points and his OPS went up like 20 points in the month of September. This is not Adrian Gonzalez's fault. I don't know how he got here.
And I don't either.
I didn't think that I'd be defending Adrian Gonzalez today. You're mad at God. You're mad at the schedule. You're not mad at Adrian.
He didn't show up what he was supposed to do in Boston.
And also,
played that next year and was just not good.
I mean, no one was good in 2012.
Yeah, 2012. Okay, I mean,
good that September, but you gave him that pass. Like, he was
we
bad.
We don't count 2012. 2012 doesn't count. That's a pass year.
I don't even remember 2012. It was fake.
I don't think it happened. I remember the whole, they made a movie about it. I don't think it happened.
In 2012 with the Red Sox, he still hit 300 with an 812 OPS, which granted is not what he did in 2011, but 2011 was also the best season of his entire career.
Yeah, he was a great glove. I'll never say anything negative about his glove. But like my problem. We've had so many middle of the order guys who people actually feared. No one feared him.
That's fair. I mean, I don't think his at bats were can't miss.
Correct. But I was pumped when he was gone. Like, those were bad contracts that were actually going to hurt the team moving forward. They made that deal. I was upset we got rid of Beckett. I was always a Beckett guy. I knew, but I understood, like, yeah, it was time to move on. That team also wasn't littered with, like, crazy young talent like it is now that Mookie's timeline lined up with perfectly like it does now. That's always been my biggest thing here. You, like, guys would go their whole fucking career trying to get a Mookie Betts to sign with them. Yeah. And we just had him here and just refused to sign him. It's crazy.
The Sox cornered themselves. They had to give up Punto in that deal. And it was you don't want to have to give up Punto.
Yeah. I mean, Punto, I mean, was he the first fucking guy to wear Nomar's number? No, it was Rocco Baldelli, right? Yeah, Baldelli, I think, wore.
Yeah, which is like, we would support that. It's like, yeah, good. Hey, Rocco.
Manager of the year last year.
Jared, I have a random – this is back to Mookie real quick. The people that – you also need to factor in, because this isn't really coming up much today, at least not on my timeline. Everyone doing all the numbers game with, like, what Mookie could have signed with in Boston, what he did sign with the Dodgers. An enormous factor here is that he's signing this contract with a completely uncertain free agency, or what was about to be a completely uncertain free agency. He had no idea what was potentially going to be on that market. The coronavirus, the pandemic factors in here. He would have made more than this.
He would have made more than this without the pandemic, yes. Definitely. I think he would have, if the Dodgers offered him 365 without the pandemic, would he have taken it before free agency? No. Do I think
he might have. I won't say full no, he might have. But
he, I think he probably doesn't take it. But either way, like, I feel
But put it this way, if the Dodgers laid out 365 over 12 years, I highly doubt that they would have given him some ultimatum being like, if you don't take this now, I can't promise you that
it wouldn't have been. There would have been negotiation.
Right, they would have been dickheads about it. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. They would have been like, all right, just, dude, why? Do the 60 games and get out. Get out of our – you are so annoying, Mookie. You are so annoying.
So annoying.
Dude, you're making the rest of our players look bad. Like, what's your deal?
This Mookie Betts, people don't talk about it, but just character issues.
I had I had multiple people in my mentions being like, well, he's short, and short people don't age well. Like, people are looking for literally anything to defend.
People are digging.
What the fuck are you talking about?
He's the most talented player. We're all basically, let's just say we're all around 30. He is the most talented Red Sox player of our lives.
By a lot.
And I don't think it's that close.
It's really not.
So let's not try to act like Mookie Betts isn't ridiculously talented and worth every penny. Worth more than that.
Mm-hmm. So does it suck to see him go? Yeah, obviously. Do I blame Mookie? No. I saw some people saying, oh, well, Mookie was dishonest because the whole time Mookie was dishonest because he kept telling the Red Sox that he wanted to go to free agency, and then he goes to the Dodgers and he signs before free agency. So he's dishonest. And it's like, well, the Red Sox never put $365 million in front of him.
No.
Like,
anything close.
Things would have been much different, I think, if the Red Sox were like, hey, 12 years. Yeah, 12 years, $365 million. What do you think, Mookie? And then maybe there's a conversation. Maybe he just takes it right then and there. We don't know the answer to that. I think, you know, there is a number. Every player has a number to be able to forego free agency. And if you have your team around you, your agent, manager, whoever the fuck, and they're telling you, hey, if you really like being here, and, you know, maybe before a number is even presented to you, I'm sure that they lay out, they'll probably say, hey, based on your numbers, this is what you've been worth, and this is what you're going to be worth. We projected your numbers out here, and based on the, like, inflation, baseball economics, the overall revenue, here's the number that's fair. This is the number that we want as a team. And if the Red Sox just put that number in front of them, why would you be like, yeah, but maybe, you know, maybe I can do better next year and then increase that next? No. Like, Red Sox throw out 365. Have to imagine that Mookie's like, yeah, all right, done deal. Like, why would I go somewhere else?
And obviously, like, I didn't see a pandemic coming, but part of my argument throughout all of this was like, hey, even if he wants to test free agency, like, your best chance to, like, forget 2, 3, 5 years from now, your best chance to win this year is with him on the team.
Mm.
So let it play out. And then the pandemic happens. Maybe the Red Sox are sitting there like, all right, and we'll up it to like 11:330 or whatever the fuck it is. And then he's like, no, can you meet me with one more year? So maybe he does end up staying here. I know that doesn't fix the tax shit, but if you really give a fuck about the tax shit and you don't work in the front office, you're an asshole.
It's something that they have brainwashed you with and you've bought into it. If you're buying into that. But no, Coley, that's actually a valid point. If he didn't get traded, I do wonder, with the pandemic, with the current situation, if the Red Sox ownership is like, all right, let's everyone settle down. Let's think about this. Like, what realistically do you think we could do? Or if they just, the entire time, we're never going to re-sign him. If all of this was just the appearance of them re-signing him when they never had the intention and they want that money to go elsewhere. I don't know. I mean, we're never going to know, but like, it would be interesting to see right now, if he was still in a Red Sox uniform for this season, what they would have done. They didn't make it. I mean, let's be real. The ownership didn't make it seem like they were committed to Mookie Betts, right? At what point did they make it seem like they were going to do anything legit?
Yeah, the $300 million, it's the same thing that happened with Bryce Harper and the Nationals. It's like, we're going to throw out a number that's very high that a sports fan that's just a casual sports fan and doesn't understand like the economics of the sport will think is like, holy shit, how could anyone say no to that? But like, if you understand the economics of it, then you very much understand that it's not a fair offer based on the talent of the player. That's what the Nationals did with Bryce Harper. They're like, all right, how's 10 years, $300 million? And it's like, well, you know, what if I want something else here?
It's not good.
They go out and they actually get what they want. That's I don't think that the Red Sox were trying to do that per se. I don't think the Red Sox were like, let's put out an offer so that when he signs elsewhere in free agency, we can say that we tried. They did do that with Johnny Damon, and we talked to Johnny Damon about it. Yeah. But different times, different people in place. I do think that maybe they were trying to gauge like, hey, is there some wiggle room on like a hometown discount here? and you get the very clear no that there is not.
No with an exclamation point. No.
Yeah. So now you know moving forward, all right, we're going to have to come correct if we're gonna get this done. You trade him to get under the luxury tax. He goes to the Dodgers. Guess what? He likes the Dodgers, so he stays there.
Why would he not? They like people that are like, I still see a lot of people being like, wow, I'm kind of surprised he signed that deal before free agency. There's no downside to being with the Dodgers right now and being in LA and confirming that you have that much money for the rest of your life. There's no downside. It makes sense.
Also, with the pandemic, like if he was still here, maybe like I'm not saying he would take 10,300, but it might have been like 12,340. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it would have been like a shaving, like 1 million per year off the discount. But the Red Sox didn't even, they didn't want to negotiate. You negotiate with every, they were like, here's our price. If you want to take this crazy low ball offer, great. We'll love to have you. If you're not going to take that, we're not going to negotiate at all, which is insane. He literally signed, they gave 10,30. He countered with, what was it 12,420?
Yeah.
Because he wanted to be near Trout.
420 was the top. Yeah, that was the top offer. Top request he had.
If you shave $60 million off one side and add it to the other is exactly what he signed for. Like, he's literally right in the middle of what he asked for and what the Red Sox gave.
Yeah, and what he signed for is, like, what a negotiation is.
Right. He was like, no, you got to come up high and then you meet in the middle. That's what his agent told him, and the Red Sox were just like, no.
Have you ever done business? That's not how it works. It's what we offer.
The other thing too is, I'm sure you've gotten a lot too, but the whole you really thought he was going to come back after he got traded, and it's like, well, I mean, we've had Megaphone Balls on the podcast, we've had him on the round table, and we've asked him like, what are the chances of that? What do you say, 30%?
30%.
So 30% in it. Very wrong. Even that might have even been a little optimistic, and maybe he was just trying to give us a little bit of hope. But let's just say it's 25%, a 1 in 4 chance. I don't hate those odds. I mean, especially when you know that the negotiations have gone the way that they've gone, and you've traded the player. I mean, how like what other example besides Aroldis Chapman going back to the Yankees can you think of a situation in baseball where a player has been traded and then come right back to the team in free agency? Doesn't happen very often.
Actually, it's never happened with a huge contract with like a 10-year deal.
Never happened with a player who hasn't been suspended for domestic violence. Like, it's never happened before. So I think when people are like, I can't believe, like, you get the fuck over it, dude. He was never coming back here. A 1 in 4 chance is still a chance.
That's not a real number, though. That's just something he said to you. That's not based.
No, but put the percentage to the side. I know I mentioned this earlier and we talked about it. I still wanted the hope. I still wanted the hope that it was potentially going to happen. The fact that it's boom done, that part sucks.
Did you actually believe? Like, what was your actual percentage?
That he was going to come back to the Red Sox?
Yeah.
20%? Like, it was still somewhere around there. Like, obviously, those are not good odds.
No,
like,
they're not.
80% chance that he's going to leave. So, like, that's where my head was at. So, you know, when I see – again, I was surprised that he bypassed free agency. I was not it wasn't surprising that he wasn't coming back to the Red Sox. I was more surprised that he wasn't riding the season out and then going into free agency. And even if he picked the Dodgers even then, would I have been surprised? No, not really.
The pandemic absolutely plays in, though.
Of course. But as far as like my shock that something like this would happen, that he wouldn't be coming back to Boston, that's kind of really not existent. I think the shock was that it happened before free agency. That's really all it was.
I think that's fair. But I do think, again, if in January or whatever the Red Sox put that same number, I think he probably would have taken it. I really do.
Yeah. And it's not.
And then that's why the people of like, he didn't want to be in Boston. Shut up. You could not be further from the truth.
The only time I've ever heard Mookie even somewhat like disappointed about being in Boston was after the parade. Like, that was the only time he was ever like,
and he got hit by a beer, right? I mean, we got beers.
Yeah, he was like, I don't think we acted appropriately. And it was like, I disagree with you, but yeah, you got stuffed. I get it. Yeah, but I mean, that's the only time he was ever.
Dude, I got hit in the face with a fucking beer can. I had a foul lip. Didn't care.
It's part of it. Granted, I wouldn't know, but it is part of the process.
Part of it. And I think he also said something after the Adam Jones thing. He tweeted, he was like, hey, Boston,
which is totally fair. Mookie's black. That's fair. Like, even if he's not, he should be tweeting that.
Yeah, right. That's the only time I think he's ever kind of like said anything like in terms of like maybe I don't like it here.
Even that just felt more of like, hey, I'm a leader here. Yeah. I'm also black. Like, I need to speak
up. Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
And Mookie's been on this podcast. People forget.
Yeah. I don't. Do I think like Boston was ever like, oh man, I need to die here? Like, I don't think he thought of it as like his favorite city. But I mean, when you're a baseball player, Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Cardinals, like those are the four.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those are the four. He was already there. He played his whole career throughout the whole minor league system here. That's the part of that that really kills me too. We didn't like acquire this guy like Pedro or something like that. He wasn't some like up and comer. This was our guy.
Yeah.
Has been the whole time. And now it's just, he's very much the Dodgers guy. And
very much like that's what hurts a lot is knowing that when he goes into the Hall of Fame, he'll be wearing a Dodgers cap, and the years that he will spend in a Dodgers uniform will far surpass the years that he spent in a Red Sox uniform, which is just strange. It's strange to think that way.
Unless the world blows up, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if the sun expands and melts the core of the earth, there's no chance that like anyone would be able to survive, especially like major league ballparks. Those things would burn to the ground.
In that scenario, I think we would need to know that everything's going to blow up, and then Cooperstown would reach out being like, Mookie, you were going to make it, so obviously you're going to go Red Sox hat, right? You've only played one season with the Dodgers, so I think that's the only scenario in which he goes in with the Sox hat.
Yeah. I could go for a dark and stormy right now, though.
I could as well, Jared, and it's funny you mentioned that because Gosling's is the official rum of the Red Sox, so obviously they decided they had to go all in as the official rum of the Section 10 podcast as well. Dark and stormy is the greatest drink on the damn planet. Gosling's has been the official rum of the Red Sox for 10 years. You can enjoy an authentic dark and stormy in all Fenway Park bars. It's the first time I've been able to say it. And it's like real. Like you can do that now. You can go back to doing that. There was a long time where you couldn't because this pandemic thing. Gosling's is still a family owned and operated company started in Bermuda in 1806. The seventh generation is in charge now with five members of the eighth generation currently involved in the family business. Dark and stormy is one of the only trademark cocktails in the world, and the only way to make an authentic dark and stormy is with Gosling's Black Seal Rum and Ginger Beer. Our recipe. Fill a tall glass with ice. Pour in about 6 ounces of Gosling's Stormy Ginger Beer, topped with 2 ounces of Gosling's Black Seal Rum, so it looks like a storm cloud is in the glass. Garnish with a lime wedge, but Jared, that is optional. The name was said to have originated around 1920 when an old fisherman observed that the drink was the color of a cloud only a fool or dead man would sail under, probably followed by barman. I'll have another dark and stormy. They made it even easier to make when they introduced their ready-to-drink dark and stormy canned cocktail a few years ago. It's 100% authentic with no malt base. It's just Gosling's Black Seal Rum and Gosling's Stormy Ginger Beer ready to go. Gosling's just introduced a limited release Red Sox edition Fenway Green Dark and Stormy can, which is phenomenal, and it is available at Fenway Park bars and at liquor stores in New England. Promo for you guys on Drizzly. Enter code Gosling's at checkout, and your first order, you get $5 off your first Drizzly order with code Gosling's. So shout out Gosling's. Love them. And they are sponsoring, once again, our final roundtable this evening, which by the time you listen will probably have happened, and hopefully you joined us for it, because it's gonna be sad.
It's gonna be sad. Well, here's the thing though, Steve. It's the last Section 10 roundtable, but if you enjoy the Section 10 roundtable on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m., then you're gonna love when we go live when the Red Sox are tied in the eighth inning. Because again, there's 60 games. That is sick. I mean, we could go 60 for 60. You really don't know. It's really a lottery. If the Red Sox are tied in the eighth inning at any point, we're going live. Eighth inning, tie ball game, Section 10 is live. Are we going, like, what's the deal?
Like, top of the eighth, like, the second it's the eighth, or is it, like, the end of the eighth?
No, I think it's, like,
If
the Red Sox tie the game in the bottom of the seventh and then we go into the top of the eighth tied, we're going live.
Live. Are we only live during the eighth?
I think we should go live until the lead changes.
Yes, I agree.
Like if the other team takes the lead, then we cut the stream. But if we
immediately
stay on,
right before they score, just cut it. Get
yeah,
it.
If there's like a runner on second and someone knocks one into right field, cut the stream.
And he throws them out. Bring it back up. Bring it back up.
Yeah, then we come back on if they throw them out. But yeah, I mean, tied at eight. That's what we're gonna be doing. So it's all year long, baby. Trust me, if there's a tie game in the eighth inning of all 60 games, you will get Section 10 live every single fucking night.
Most guys have tried different ways to last longer, but thinking about baseball and the immense pit of despair and sadness it puts you into doesn't always work. The folks at Roman, however, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to longer lasting sex. Roman Swipes are clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast acting, but do not require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. That's it. Go to GetRoman.com/section10. You can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/section10.
The Red Sox blew the game against the Blue Jays. People were chirping me, being like, really? No blog on the game last night? You know that wasn't real, right?
It's not a real game. People were acting like that was a real game. That's not a real game. Yeah, you know that,
like,
right?
I literally got people being like, "Oh yeah, some fucking Red Sox blogger. You are like no coverage of the game last night. It wasn't real. Didn't happen.
It looked like the 2019 Red Sox is what it looked like.
I mean, you watched it on TV. Sure, it was against a real baseball team, the Blue Jays. Yep, it was at a real major league ballpark, Fenway Park.
We don't know that the Blue Jays are a real team right now.
That's true.
Yeah, they might be fake with no home. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. More like Hobo Bichette.
I was just supposed to say that.
I was sick at all of those. Sucked.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Coley, I thought it was funny. So we're going to disagree there. When I saw Hobo Bichette, I was like, that's pretty good. Coley, because his name's Bo Bichette.
Did you see Bo Bichette and other Bo Bichette puns?
Yeah, but like, Coley, the Blue Jays don't have a home. And his name is Bo Bichette, and a hobo is a person that doesn't have
homeless.
A home. So totally. Hobo Bichette.
It's like a combo deal where you still get Bo Bichette, but then it's like the hobo is the homeless.
Right.
So it's like a combo.
The team he plays for doesn't have a home right now.
Hobo.
Hobo Bichette.
I don't know if he knows what hobo means. Wait, I think that's the problem.
Are you playing a sound effect, or is there really a cricket in the background?
There are crickets that actually work out pretty yeah, well.
I heard crickets. I thought you were doing that with a sound effect. Is that's real?
Oh yeah, he's getting louder the more you keep saying it.
That cricket's bringing it.
Yeah,
my goodness,
hold on, brother!
All right, listen to this cricket. That's a real cricket. Wow. Good timing, dude. Wow. Shout out to that cricket. That's fucking hilarious. I thought you queued up the sound effect machine.
That was,
I know. Real
baseball talk. Do we have a problem with Rowdy Tellez?
No, not at all. I fucking love
Rowdy. No, yo, put the four up. Anytime he's up, put the four.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's got the highest OPS against the Red Sox since he's come into baseball. Like,
yeah. Since the invention of baseball. Put him on first.
No one's paying attention, but like Rowdy Tellez is probably the most feared power hitter in baseball right now.
Yeah. And he has a name that you should fear, too.
Rowdy.
Yeah.
Tellez.
He was the dude that I tweeted the clip of making fun of like the sound people in Toronto.
Yeah.
He did like an absolute bomb.
Wait, where? Like, where was it?
Toronto.
There you go.
He hit a fucking there was no crowd noise or anything. He hit a rocket into the seats and just crack, smash, and then he's rounding the bases, gets past second base, and then the DJ's like, 2, 3, 4, boom! Like Rowdy Tellez is that guy. Like he's the dude that if I'm a pitcher. That's the one where it's like, all right, if my catcher behind the plate is not standing up and signaling for the intentional walk, I'm going to intentionally walk him by just not throwing any strikes anywhere.
Yeah, he's very good. What were our thoughts on the broadcast? That's the first one we've had with them in Watertown, and I thought it was super smooth.
Could not tell that they weren't there.
Yeah, that was my first take. What's that?
Why can't they be there?
They can easily be there. Like, if you can do the same protocol for the players, I don't know why these guys can't just go directly to the booth and impact anybody.
Remy's probably a very high risk.
For sure. Person.
But I'm saying if they all get tested, no, it's just three of them getting tested.
I guess.
No, but you know, Remy, you want to minimize contact just with the world. So I get Remy, but the other, like, you could do OB and Eck. I think most people prefer that.
Yeah, but if you're still going to have all of them in the same room in Watertown, what's the difference in right. the same room at Fenway? I don't know. But I actually thought it worked out really well. It was super smooth. They have every excuse for that to be choppy and to not work, and I thought it was really good. Garen being there is a nice added bonus. You have somebody in the crowd or the crowd at the park that can actually give you that element of it. So that was pretty good.
I thought it was good, too. I think it'll play.
I just missed Eckers. I missed hearing Eckers. Just, oof, loved it.
Yeah, baseball. Baseball's back Friday, baby. Which means two episodes a week coming next week. We have real games to talk about. We got games to talk about. We got home runs to talk about. Did you see I know you saw them, Steve Cole. Did you see the new GIFs? The new graphics?
I did.
That's yeah, cool. my only critique, Jared.
What
you were rolling those puppies out? I was like, maybe save a couple of these.
Well, I mean, I've had them since fucking February.
Like, I can tell you've been saving. You're just like pew pew pew.
Yeah, I mean, I have had them since February. So like, give me a chance. I mean, like, obviously, like the new gold bottles one haven't used that yet. The Yankees lose one haven't used that yet. There's a bunch of like Benintendi ones.
Thursday.
Yeah, there's some good ones that I'm sitting on, and when I get to fire him off, ooh, baby.
Do we believe that Devers hit Pedro's number?
Yes.
I think there's only like one source.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, of course there's no video of it. Why wouldn't there be? Like, I feel like there would be, even if you're not like broadcasting the game, I feel like they always at least have like cameras rolling.
Yeah, and if anyone's going to do it, I guess it is Devers. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I think it did happen, and I want it to happen. I also want someone to hit the red seat, but
Rowdy Tellez did last year.
Yeah, yeah, he hit it 580 feet. Yeah, I don't know. I think I saw that, and I was like, it's 2020. They have footage of literally everything that happens at Fenway. When they're mowing the lawn, they tweet out a slow-mo of it. You can't tell me that they don't have a home run hitting off of Pedro's retired number off the facade?
They might not have one of that angle.
Maybe I just want to see that. I want to see the ball off the bat. Be like, that might have hit that number.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to believe it. I want to believe it. Yeah,
we have the roundtable coming up, so I'll empty the bench real quick.
Yeah,
Coley, I saw you tweeted this out. Mookie was super rude to kind of overshadow the new shirts, but we do have new Section 10 shirts at store.arsenalsports.com. Mm-hmm. I know. Well, I feel like you tweeted that it's like Mookie Betts signs that 80-year deal. What can you explain the shirts a little bit?
Yeah, we've got the main bear 2.0. He's got a new pal. It's a moose. And then we've got a new Devers ice cream, Big Scoops shirt, which yes. comes in a nice mint green. And there's more to come. The Xander shirt got double denied. I got to figure out a way to get a Xander shirt because he deserves one.
He does deserve one. We'll figure it out. There's a way. If there's a will, there's a way. And there's definitely a will, so there's got to be a way.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, go to store.barstoolsports.com. New shirts there. Crop tops going to need a restock. Restock, blop, blop, and the flop blops are also in there, too. And then you got to get drop drops. And those are also
the dap laps.
Yep, the dap laps. Those are new, and those are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, go socks.
Socks.
This was going to be way more of a prediction episode, and then Mookie just, you know.
Yeah. We'll predict the season, like, halfway through.
Yeah. Actually, one thing I wanted to do, record.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
I think
Totally.
26 and 20.
What?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Okay. Okay. If we just did this, it was like, oh, oh no.
You're like, that's not 60.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I'm so good at math. There's no way.
I think they're gonna be good, and they will win. 34 games.
I got 33-27. You got 34. Cody's got 20-24. Coley nails that this season ends after 44. 20. What do you say?
26-20.
I'm bad at math. 26-20. Coley has this ending after 46 games. All right, those are predictions. That's all we got. Shout out to Goslings. Roundtables were a lot of fun. Shout out to you guys, all the MVPs, everyone that participated.
Maybe Gosling will sponsor the Tide in the 8th segments.
Yeah, hopefully. Oh, no, Gosling's still on board, absolutely. But, yeah, they showed a lot of support for the roundtables. You guys did, too.
All right, let's get over to it.
Has to be the 8th inning.
Yeah, Tide in the 8th. See you there.
Wouldn't want to copy.
Bitches. We the best music. Another one. DJ Khaled.
Bitches calling my phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter, yeah. Cops pulling up like I'm giving drugs. Nah. I'm a pop star, not a doctor. Bitches calling my phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter, yeah. Cops pulling up like I'm giving drugs. Nah. I'm a pop star, not a doctor. Hey, shorty with the long text, I don't talk. Shorty with the long legs, she don't walk. Yeah, last year I kept it on the tuck. Ayy, 2020, I came to fuck it up. Yeah.
Hi, Garrett.
Hi, Mariah. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Very tired and also very sad.
Why? Oh, because of Mookie?
Because of Mookie.
Hi, Steve.
What's up, Mariah? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Baby.
Is that a baby?
It is. I don't think you guys have met her yet.
No.
That is a confirmed baby.
In fairness, like, she can't talk, so I don't know what we would have in common.
Almost nothing.
I told the old takes exposed guy to respect my privacy, and he still put me on his Instagram page anyway.
It would be good if everyone just told him that. Can you respect my privacy here?
God.
And then he takes it down. My bad. This is the worst. This is probably, we're going to probably try to spin this as like blank slate, 0-0. We're starting up, and we can't even do that.
If you thought I was going to come on here and try and spin this, I'm reading the blog I wrote when he was first traded, and yeah, I feel pretty much the same today, which shocks me.
Yeah, so priceless, life so priceless, nigga, you understand me? It's just like that. My car so priceless, my bitch so priceless, my familia is so priceless, nigga, you understand me? Either you with us or you ain't with us, or either you in the huddle or you out the huddle. Either you riding up, we passing, flying by, saying fuck you. It's young money, cash money, playboy. That's about the size of it. At the rooftop. So hot up here, nigga. Yeah. Let's go.
Take yourself a picture when I'm standing at the mound. Man, I swear it's going down. I'm just repping for my town. Off a cup of CJ Gibson, man, I'm faded off the ground. And I'm easily influenced by the niggas I'm around. See the Aston Martin when I started, hear the sound. I ain't never graduated, I ain't got no cap and gown. But the girls in my class who are smart enough to pass me at all my fucking parties, grabbing money off the ground.
Yeah, all hail Mr. Lyrical, space of the opus, baby, what you got a feeling for? I can show you new things, how you feeling spiritual, Pastor Kearney Thomas to these hoes, miracles, yeah, okay, they say that I'm...